Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day. I'll say amen louder than everyone else because I believe it. How's everybody doing today? Good. What a beautiful day it is. And we're continuing this series on vision. And it's important before we talk about vision for our church, what God has for us as a church, that we have vision for our own life. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree that it's important for us to have vision for our own personal life, what God wants to do in and through us before we look forward to what God, where God has planted us, what he wants us to do through that. Amen? And many times where God has you planted as a church, the vision that God puts in your heart, in your life, it will align with a lot of those things. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And so it's important for us to first look at our own lives, the vision for our own lives and what that looks like. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Okay. And when I say vision for your life, if you're married, that is for the both of you together, all right? Yeah. I like to just throw that out there. When you are married under God's covenant, then you become one. And so your vision now is one. That's important to understand and to embrace because vision is important for, if you're married in the room, to be aligned together. And it doesn't mean when I say that, you know, oh, we both have to always follow the same career path or we have to do all the same things. But it does mean this, that you come into agreement with God, what God has called you to do as a family. So, for instance, one of you might be pursuing a career while the other one is supporting the pursuit of that career. Does that make sense? You have to be in agreement and understand that you are moving together. There are so many couples in today's world that are like, I'm doing my thing. He's doing his thing. We come together and we eat at night. Not a very great way to live your life, okay? But when you have vision together, which can come to anyone that wants it from the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, when you get that and you agree with it together, you become very powerful as a couple. You become that power couple, amen? So when I say your life, if you're married, I'm talking about the both of you together. The vision for your life that God has given you, okay? So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. How many of you have heard that scripture before? Faith is it's also the substance of things hoped for, right? The substance of things hoped for. It's important when we talk about vision, if you're like, why is this guy talking about faith? It's because it's important to understand that alignment with God must happen if you want true godly vision in your life. I think for any of us in the room, that statement, when I said it, that makes sense. You have to be aligned with God in order to receive vision from God for your life. And your relationship with God, it is founded in faith. Faith in who God is. Faith in what he has done for us. And what he continues to do for us. Faith is essential if you want to receive, if you want to follow God's vision in your life. Faith. And Hebrews 11, 1 again, what does it say? Faith shows the reality of what we hope for, the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Let's pray together. Would you agree with me today? Lord, we just thank you so much for what you have given us, your blessings on our life. And we come together today to thank you for those things, to celebrate those things. And we also look today for guidance, what you have for us next. We want to grow in you. We want to align with you so we can pursue the plan and the calling that you have placed on our life. Lord, I thank you right now that every person in this room, everybody watching online, you have a specific plan for their life. No one is exempt from that. Every single person, you have a great purpose for them. And I pray that you would reveal that to us. We thank you, Lord. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you this. Are you hoping for God's vision in your life?
Yes.
Are you hoping for it? Like really, really hoping for it. I'll tell you this. If you're not hoping, if you're not expecting God's vision for your life, it's probably not going to come. Because when you hope for something, when you expect something, you are what? You are looking for it. Right? You are looking for it. I don't think any fighter goes into the ring not expecting that a punch is going to come at them. If they went into the ring and they're like, I don't think anything's going to happen. Anything's going to work out very good? Their life is going to get rocked instantly. They're like, oh my gosh, this guy's trying to kill me, right? So it's important to come hopeful and expecting. Amen? If you want vision in your life. I'm going to ask you again, are you hoping for God's vision in your life? Are you expecting that it's going to come? Are you expecting it? Because we can hope for something. I hope that God's going to bring it. But then we can expect he's going to bring it. I expect that the sun this evening, way too early in my opinion, is going to go down. Right? The sun, is. I expect it. I expect it so much that I know it. I know it so much that I will even change my plans to make sure that it facilitates around that thing. Does that make sense? So let me ask you this. Are you expecting God's vision in your life in that way? Because if we expect God's vision to come, we begin to facilitate our lives around that. We change things, we rearrange things to make sure that God's vision has a place to sit in our life, all right? To take place in our life. True expectation, it plans on it. Amen? It plans on it. So how do you get in a place of expectation? Well, first off, it's a decision. It is a decision. It's a choice that you make. It's a choice that says, I trust that God is going to direct my paths. Yeah. Amen? It starts there. Proverbs, go ahead and go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And you can stay in Hebrews 11. If you didn't, don't worry. We'll get back there. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Amen. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your understanding. We're all smart people. If you don't think you are, I'm telling you, you are. All right? God created you. He created your mind. He created that mind to work. And so we can think really awesome things. But if our vision is coming from us, it's just not as good as God's vision. It never will be. It will never compare to the plan, the purpose that God has for each of us in our life. And so the way that we, again, align to that, we make that choice to say, I'm going to set my heart on the things of him. I'm going to set my heart on God instead of trying to figure it out on my own. Have you ever tried to figure something out on your own? Oh, we all have, right? I always look at it as like we all have a default, all right? If you've ever read the story of the Israelites and gotten mad, you've gotten mad because they always go back to their default back in Egypt. They always do. You're like, oh my gosh, are we doing this again? I mean, you want to throw something at Samson, except that he's really strong, so you're... you just get so frustrated, right? And then you're like, and if you stop for a minute and think about the moments where you went to your default, you're like, oh. We have things that we can fall back on very easily, but it's important to align our hearts with him. Amen? And what does it say in verse 6? Seek his will in all that you do. That's a lot of things. In all that you do, seek his will. Seek his will in all you do. I'll just let that set in for a minute. In everything. Everything that you're doing, God, what is your will in this moment? What is your will today? What is your will this morning? What is your will at lunch break? What is your will this afternoon, this evening? What is your will when I walk into Walmart today? What is your will when I'm out hanging out with my family, when I'm going to a movie? What is your will in my marriage, in my relationship with my kids? What is your will? Seeking his will. And I love it. He will show you which path to take. Praise the Lord. If you seek it, you will find. Sounds familiar. We've heard that before. We hear that later in Matthew. Seek and you will find. Amen? So I want to guarantee you something today. That if you seek his will, he will direct your paths. That's some good news today. I mean, we could pack up and we can go, but like, all right, let's do it. All right, I'm not going to let you. Sit down. Just kidding. You can if you want. I don't care. It's free country. Praise the Lord. All right. But seeking is important. Do you think seeking God is a one-time deal? No. I mean, how funny would that be? Hey, what's God telling you? I don't know. I mean, I seeked God for like 1 month. January 1st from January 30th. Is there 31 days in this month? I don't know. 31. From January 1st to January 31st, I seeked God, and I'm sorry, that wasn't in the details. So, I mean, it's March now. We don't go back there, all right? You would sound like a crazy person. Well, maybe not. I don't know. To me, you maybe would. But anyway, my point is this. I'm a New Year's resolution. I love setting goals the new year. I love it. I love it. I love seeing what God has done and what he's going to do. I love celebrating all those things. But as I do that, I also have to understand this, that at any time, God can recast vision. Praise the Lord. At any time. And the only way that I am putting my heart in a place to receive that is if I'm truly seeking his will all the time. Does that make sense? See, if all we do is once a year we set goals and then we just run for them and we never take a moment to, during our daily walk, consistently to seek his will, how many of you think you might get off track a little bit? Right? And how many of you know that, you know, from here to where Pastor Mike is, if I try to walk towards him, straight towards him, but I just divert a little bit, I'll miss him, right? Just a little bit. But if Mike is, you know, a mile away, and I mean, I just take like the most minute change, I'm going to really miss him, right? So it's important to continually seek his will. God will continue to clarify things, too, in your vision. Has God ever told you something, and you're like, okay, I'm going to need a little bit more. And he says, why don't you do the first thing I told you? And you're like, okay, I hear you. And then we do that, and what does he do? He just continues to clarify more and more what his plan is for your life. Amen? Amen. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. We're talking a lot about consistency, amen? Consistency today. Because seeking his will about everything takes a lot of consistency. And a lot of us, consistency sounds really great and nice, but it's really hard to carry out. Correct? I think for all of us, there is a challenge in creating things and being consistent with them. Right? I would just ask you this. What are some things that you're consistent at right now that you quote-unquote don't even try to be consistent at? These are probably not the best things in our life. Do you see where I'm going today? There are maybe habits or things that we know aren't the best, but we just find ourselves doing them every single day. So if you're in the room today and you're like, I just don't know if I can do that consistently. Wrong. You can totally. There are things you've been doing consistently every day for decades. So my question is, how do we change that? We start working consistently at doing the thing that we know that we need to be doing. Right? I mean, Paul talks about that, right? He's like, the thing that I want to do, that I do what I'm out of it. And he starts getting into this whole thing. The thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the thing that I don't want to do, I do. And everybody reads Paul and they're like, I don't know, this guy sounds a little crazy, right? But we've all been there. Like, why am I doing this? I know this isn't good. So seeking God's will also means breaking our will. That's a process. But praise the Lord that when God puts his super on that natural, all right, when we make that choice, he can break that really fast. Change, it's hard, but with God, anything is possible. Anything. Anything. Anything is possible. All right, back to Hebrews 11. Let's see here. I'm going to jump around a little bit, all right? But stick with me, all right? Let's go to Hebrews 11. We're talking about faith. And here in Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. Was the vision that God had given Noah to build a boat? Yeah, and how did he do it? By faith. Right? How did he do it? By faith. So your vision, how do you carry it out? You carry it out by and in faith. How crazy was it that Noah was to build a boat? I mean, when I grew up in church, and I remember flannel boards, all right? We had this flannel board. It was green, this green flannel board, and they put a boat on there. And they took these little animals and stuck them in there. Yeah, somebody's nodding there. They're like, yeah, I remember that. Flannel boards. Oh, man. And I would always find the lion, and for whatever reason, I would put the lion in my pocket. I don't know. The teacher's worst nightmare, all right? And we put it up there. And I learned my whole life, you know, Noah built an ark. Super cool. Awesome. No big deal. But then later in life, I learned that rain had never fallen on earth. You know, before it was just dew would appear, and it would water the earth. No one had ever seen water fall from earth, and Noah's building a boat, and when people are like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm building a boat because it's going to rain. And people are like, what are you talking about? You might as well said flabby dabby dabba to them, all right? They never even heard of rain. They're like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're crazy. You are crazy. You are crazy. But it says here in verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, it says, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Check this out. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world and received the righteousness that comes by faith. What did Noah say? He said, I don't care what anybody else says. God's voice is number one. What faith. What a great, whew, praise the Lord. All right, let's keep going. Verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land, that God would give him as that God would give him as his inheritance. Check this out. My version, New Living Translation, says he went without knowing where he was going. He went without knowing where he was going. I read that and I was like, I've read Hebrews 11 so many times, and I was like, what? Wait, how many times has God told you to do something? You're like, I don't know, God. I need the next step before I go. Like, you, I don't know. Like, should I bring a water bottle, or, you know, is it gonna be a long trip? Should I bring some beef jerky? Should I call Rick and make sure he packs me some beef jerky? Rick makes the BFG, man. Sorry, Rick. I told you so. Nobody bother Rick about his beef jerky, all right? Just because I said that. Leave the man alone, all right? He only makes it for me. I'm just kidding. All right, so. But he went without knowing where. What? That means that God starts to direct his path and he just goes. He'd never been there before, all right? They didn't have GPS. There was no maps, all right? There was not a convenient shop to stop and like, hey, so I'm going nowhere. Can you give me some directions? Some would be like, honey, take the kids. Let's get them in the back. We're like, this guy's talking crazy, all right? Well, you create crazy stuff, crazy stuff. Have you ever felt crazy, though, when you're following God? Sometimes it feels a little, I just want to tell you you're in good company, all right? I want to tell you you are in good company because the things that God calls us to do, they may seem totally crazy to people. They may seem contrary to what the world is saying. In fact, I will tell you, almost always they will. That's okay. Do it. And if you read about Abraham, and I would encourage you to, you will see the blessings of God over his life every step in ways that nobody could have ever imagined. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 9, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. Interesting. He lived there. He didn't stop. Praise the Lord. He didn't get there and like, I've arrived. For he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Check this out. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. I love that. I think that's very important. He was looking forward to what God was going to do. Are you looking forward to what God is going to do? Are you looking forward? Are you looking forward? What does that tell me? It means that no matter what age I am, no matter where I'm at in life, no matter my situation or predicament, I can look forward. God's got something greater for me. I don't care where you're at in your life right now. God's got something ahead. Amen? Amen. Amen. Verse 13, let's go there. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. This is powerful today, okay? Now, a lot of these people, who they're talking about are these people that God promised through Abraham the nation of Israel would be birthed, okay? Abraham never saw the whole nation of Israel birthed here on this earth, okay? Does that make sense? So the very promise that he was given was generational. But it was more than generational. It was a kingdom vision. I want you to latch on to this today because as Christians, it's important to understand that our vision coming from God, it will be attached to a kingdom vision. What does that mean? That means that the vision that God gives you, it's going to go far beyond your lifetime. That's good news to me. I love the idea of building legacy types of vision for God. How boring would it be that the day that I die puts an end to everything I've been working for? Think about that for a minute. Think about that. Praise the Lord that if I am following the vision of God, that the day I die, goes on as planned. Yeah. Business as usual. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's what I want for my kids, for my family. That's what I want for anybody that I'm leading or influencing or anybody that is a part of that. I want the day that I die, the next day is like, all right, well, we were a part of this vision. God has specifically planned us for it. We're just going to carry it. It's just going to continue on. Yeah. It doesn't stop. And Abraham, he understands that. That's kingdom vision type stuff there. That is some powerful stuff, in my opinion.
Let's jump to verse 27. It says in verse 27, it was by faith that Moses, everybody remember Moses? It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. He kept on going. Why? Because he kept his eyes on God. I mean, Moses had lived a life of luxury in the palace. He had everything and anything he'd ever want on this earth. And he left it with his eyes on God. That's powerful. In verse 29, let's jump forward again. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried, come on, somebody. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. Your enemy, he cannot follow you where God's vision is going to take you. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. You can get in on that. You can get pumped up about that. And I love that, all right? I love that the Israelites follow God's vision. And the enemy is like, I can do that too. Wrong. I love it. I love it. You're going to do things that the enemy is like, that was cool. He's going to try to follow you in there, and he, not going to make it, baby. You're going to cross the Red Sea on dry ground, and your enemy cannot even follow you into the land that God has set for you. Amen? Somebody needs to hear that today, because some of you have been believing this lie that the enemy is just going to be like, nah, come on now, right? Do we have a very real enemy? Absolutely. But you can live in victory all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can live in victory all the time, all right? We talked about that last week. We talked about the armor of God. And I love that verse that the shield of faith, it says hold up the shield of faith, right? We talked about not keeping it, you know, just in your camp, in your tent. Buffing it every once in a while, making it shine. No, he says, hold up the shield of faith, and it will quench the fiery arrows of the enemy. And we talked about how, you know, arrows, if you've ever seen a movie and like 1,000 arrows come shooting, that's scary. But if you see 1,000 fiery arrows, that's a lot scarier, right? A fiery arrow, it kind of does what seems like maybe the same, but it's scary. But I love the shield of faith, it will quench it. Yeah. That the fire has a reciprocal effect. Is that the right word? Probably not. But anyway, it has an effect all around you, okay? The fire, okay? Does that make sense? The fiery arrows. Because if 70 come and one hits over there, it starts something on fire. But I love the shield of faith because it quenches it all. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Kingdom vision. Kingdom vision. Amen. Do you want kingdom vision in your life? Do you want God's vision for your life? I'm going to tell you right now, the only place you can get it is from God. You can't get it from me. You can't get it from Pastor Mercedes. You can't get it from my amazing wife, even though she's absolutely incredible. You can only get it from God. In fact, you should pursue God with all that you have. You should pursue God for it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you pursue God and you get your vision from God, nothing can take that away. No circumstance, no situation, no problem, no person, nothing can take that away. It doesn't matter what happens because God's vision's on your life. If God said it, then this is not going to stop God's vision. Does that make sense? That's pivotal. That is so crucial in our life. And in the church, you know, we all have seen this happen, where Christians in church, they follow a person's vision more than they do God's vision for their life. Let's not do that. There's nothing wrong with pursuing a vision that God has placed on a person's heart. But make sure it aligns with your vision, the vision that God has placed on your life first. Amen? Otherwise, guess what? It just is not going to work. It's not going to cooperate. There's going to be a rub. all right? You ever been on a road trip before? You put a styrofoam cup in a cup holder, and you're driving down the road, and it's like, I can't do a styrofoam. You know what I'm talking about? Making that noise? I mean, that will, you know what I'm talking about? Or a cooler in the back. You know, you get on the road. Everything's good, you know? All the kids have gone to the bathroom twice. And you're driving down the road, and there's a random squeak in the back. Oh my gosh. I want to remind you today that if you start pursuing a path and it's not aligned with the vision of God, it's going to be like that. It's going to be a lot of squeaks, a lot of frustrating moments, okay? And all you got to do is stop the car, get out, and say, okay, God, what's the shift that needs to happen to take this out of my life, get back in there, and keep on rolling. Praise the Lord. All right. Why? Because you can change any of those things. A lot of times we're like, man, I'm just so far out of the will of God, there's no getting back. Wrong. That is a total lie from the enemy, okay? You can get off whatever road you're on. You can get off right now, all right? I'm going to tell you right now, there is an off-ramp, okay? There is a reroute ready to go for you so you can get back in the will of God. Praise the Lord. All right, go ahead and turn with me to Mark chapter 12. And we're going to close things down today as we read this scripture. Yes, Mark is after Matthew, Brandon. Nailed it. Mark chapter 12. Let's look at verse 28. Let's start in 27. And no, 28, my bad, sorry. And this is Jesus, and he's in the temple. And just before this conversation happens, the Sadducees, some of the religious leaders, come and they try to debate Jesus, okay? And I really want you to get the sense of what that means. They're coming to try to stump Jesus. Think about the heart that comes with that. Does that make sense? You getting that? Think about what the heart, what is that? That is an attacking heart. I'm going to stump them so I can make them look like an idiot, right? And so I want you to kind of cue into that, because that's going to help as we read this next part. And in verse 20 it says, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate, and he realized that Jesus had answered well. I love that. One of the religious leaders, all right, had enough mind to get his head out of the sand and realize what Jesus was saying. Yeah, that's good. And what does he say? I love this. So he asks a question. And I want you to catch this today, because we'll kind of, as you read this later on, you'll kind of see that this guy's heart was in the right place. He asks a question of Jesus, a real question. He wants to know. And look at this. He says, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. In verse 32, the teacher of religious law replies, well said, teacher. It's like, amen. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. This guy's like working out salvation right now. I love that. It's beautiful. Because this guy, he's totally grew up, there's this religion, this state of religion that is on these people. And this man says, something is fishy about those guys, and something is so right about this Jesus. And he says, and I know it is important to love him with all my heart, all my understanding, and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. Listen to this. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. In verse 34, realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Why? Because everybody in the room, I'm going to go and tell you this, that thought they wanted to ask a question before, they realized they were far away from the kingdom of God right in that moment. Ooh, come on, somebody. Because the Holy Spirit will convict you. And then you have a choice to make. Which way am I going to go? There's a lot going on here. All right? There's a lot to unpackage. We could sit here for hours to unpack this, and we won't. But I am amazed that this religious leader, knowing the law, how do you get righteous according to the old covenant? By sacrifice and offerings. By works, right? But under new covenant with Jesus, righteousness is not earned, but it is freely given through grace by what Jesus did on the cross for our sins, died, ripped through hell, rose again, appeared to us, ascended, and gave us the helper, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And this man, he gets that because he understands that the best way to have righteousness in your life is by simply aligning with God. If I stopped thinking about, well, it's okay if I do this because I can just sacrifice something and make myself right, but it's better if I align myself with God, I won't ever have to get there to begin with. Now, I'm sure this guy understood. I can't be perfect, but I can sure try. I like that. I can't be perfect, but I can sure try. I can sure try. And the best way for me to do that is to align myself with God. And how do I do it? I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength, with everything that I have. And then I do what? I do what God did to his people, and I love them. Because if I get around God, I'll reflect God, and a reflection of God looks like loving our neighbors. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus hears this, he's like, whoa, man. You got it. And I love Jesus because he says it like in front of everyone. Even the disciples. I'm sure there were people in there who were like, no, I don't think so. He was like 47th in his class and school. Like there's no way he's the one. How cool. How special, how amazing is this moment? Because really what we're queuing into is Jesus is like, man, you are close to the kingdom of God. That is it. And what is he really saying? To me, if I read between the lines and read it here, what's going to get him all the way to the kingdom of God? Jesus. Jesus on the cross. And a new covenant. A new covenant. Man, sometimes do you read the Bible? Sometimes you're like, man, I would just like to know. But you know when a movie does Where Are They Now, you know? I would just kind of like to know, you know? But we do know. Because we are like this guy. We can all identify in these moments. Whether you're a new Christian and you just got saved, or you're a Christian, if you've been a Christian for decades of your life, religion wants to hold on. And the enemy will use that to pull you down and to break you down and to make you believe that you can't have a vision for your life. You can't do the things that no one else has done because you have to follow a certain way. You have to follow a certain methodology. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's vision wants to break that. He wants to free you of that, and he wants to give you something that will completely revolutionize not just your life, amen? Not just your life, but everyone's life around you. Do not fear that. Do not run from that. I'm going to tell you right now that it will take faith and it will be scary to your flesh. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you. So let's just, as we close today, love the Lord your God. What does he say? With all of your heart. What is heart? It's the heart, the word here that's used is really the heart in which you do things. It's the heart in which you do. For example, what heart is behind what it is that you are doing? I think of, you know, Jesus is sitting there with his disciples at the temple, and all these people are coming in, and they're giving in the offering, and a widow comes in and puts a penny in, and Jesus is like, boom, there it is. Did you guys see? Well, I almost fell over. Did you see that? He said, that's it right there. Yeah. That's it right there. The heart in which you do. See, all these people, they're giving out of their wealth. What is that? They're giving out of their own, what they have done, but she's giving out of, she's got nothing. And she's saying, man, I'm giving this, even the thing that I only have, I'm giving it, understanding that it all belongs to you. There's this heart that he's after. Does that make sense? So loving the Lord with all of your heart, how is it that you love? What is the condition of your heart? How do we treat God? See, Pastor Jim would always give this example. I mean, if you've heard him probably a million times do this, if you've been around for a while, and he would say, you know, if I can take the trash out for my wife, and be like, I'm going to take this trash out, and I'm going to love doing it, or you're going to be like, I hate this. And you can like drag it and leave a trail behind you. Right? Trash is done. You did the same thing, right? In a whole different way. The heart. It says, love the Lord your God with all your soul. This word, it literally means breath. But much more than just breathing oxygen, right? If it stops breathing, I die. Okay? But my soul lives on. It's eternal. So with the piece of your life that is eternal. Does that make sense? So where is your eternity? Where is it placed in your life? Is your eternity placed on him or is it on sin? It really also speaks of the priority of where God is in your life. We put so much priority on our body. But the reality is it's our soul that's eternal. And in the world, the enemy wants to do what? He wants to focus it all on the body, okay? Your outward, what people see, but your soul is so crucial and so important. When we say somebody gets saved in the church, what are we saying? Their soul now is tied with him. It is no longer tied with sin. What does that look like? Well, that means that there's going to be a lot of daily decisions to make that true in your life. Loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with everything, understanding that it is my eternal destiny that I'm putting on the line because I believe in him. With all your mind, this is your thoughts, your imagination, it's your mindset, your perspective, it's your expectations. Loving the Lord your God with all of your mind is kind of multi-layered, I would say, because our mind is a powerful thing.
And so when you trail off or you're thinking, loving the Lord your God with all your mind is every thought, everything you imagine, everything that you create, everything in your mind that's happening and going on, start to finish, is it loving him? Is it showing love towards him? Is it like the kind of mind that we think Jesus projected towards his disciples, towards the people that were hurting? Is it the same kind of mind? Am I looking at viewing the world the way that Jesus viewed the world when he was here on this earth? For me, that's a way to equate it, to help me understand what that's really looking like. You know, people wear these cool bracelets to say, what would Jesus do? What are we saying? We're saying, in this situation, in this moment, what would Jesus do? Well, first you have to see and think the way that Jesus would have saw and thought so that then you can carry out the actions. Okay? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And finally, strength. Love the Lord your God with all your strength. This is your ability. It is your, it's, the word literally means forcefulness. Forcefulness. It is literally what you are doing to create force in life. It's your action. It is what you're doing. And I will tell you this, if your heart is in line, your actions will follow suit. Okay? All these things are pivotal. And when we talk about the vision of God for our life, if we don't spend time to align ourselves with him, it's going to be really hard, maybe impossible, to get the vision that God has for us individually. So my question for all of us in the room, what do we need to adjust? What do we need to change? What do we know? We're like, okay, that's a little off. I need some tweaking. Maybe a lot of it needs tweaking, okay? Don't overcomplicate it, okay? They're like, I have a list of 29 things. We all could probably come up with a list of 29. Where's God? What's the Holy Spirit telling you? Where to start? Okay? Let's just simplify it for a minute. What's the thing that, like, I'm going to start there. Yeah. I'm going to start here. And that's what we need to do. Why? Because we're going to seek the will of God every day. All right? If you're going to really latch onto this, you've got to understand that this is going to be a daily thing, every day, every day, every day. So that means what? Right now, God's got something for you right now. Amen? All right? It means that tomorrow, he's going to have more for you, okay? But he can't have that more for you unless you take the step now, okay? So what does that mean? You can take the step now and start right now, or you can wait in a week. You're going to start at the same place. I guess I'll take that back. You'll probably start, it'll probably be a little bit farther. There's no neutral in life, okay? Sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm just going to put the pause button on it. I don't. If only. But life works differently than that. So consistency is vital. So aligning with him. Aligning with him. I want to just give you a picture as we close down today. You know, if we were to make a priority list, I would say God, then me, then everything else. And if we were to draw a line, God and me, and draw a line, all the way down, everything else should fall in line with his vision. Does that make sense? But I am going to tell you this, that line is your path, and it hinges on you. Why? Because it's your choice to choose the vision that God puts on your life. The path that you walk on it is at the end of the day your choice. You can choose to align with God, or you can choose to walk another direction. And it is vital to align yourself with God, because then the things that are in your life underneath you, right? There's all kinds of stuff, right? Your family, your relationships, your marriage, your job, where you live, what you do, all of that stuff aligns there. And if this is all God's will, and you just tilt it a little bit, you are totally off of those things. And now, it's going to be like a squeaky styrofoam cup. All right? And so why do I say all that? Let's align with God. Let's align with the Holy Spirit. All right, let's just take a moment. Let's just bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Not doing that because bowing your head and closing your eyes makes you more holy, but just very simply just to focus on Him today. Let's just focus in on Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. We thank you, God. We praise you, Jesus. If anyone in the room says, I want that relationship with God, I want to align myself with God, I feel like I'm out of alignment with God, maybe you've never even known God before and you want a relationship with God, now's your time. You can do that right now. And if that's you in the room, I just want you to lift your hand and say, that's me today. And I'll lead you in a very simple prayer today. I see that hand. We're going to align ourselves with God. Anybody else today? Praise the Lord. We're going to say this prayer. Just repeat it after me. If you're in the room today, just repeat it to encourage the brothers and sisters around you that are saying it. Just say, Dear Jesus, I need you. I want to align with you. And I thank you that you have a great plan for my life, great purpose for my life. From this moment on, nothing can take that away. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son Jesus to die for me on a cross. And I thank you that because of that, I am made new. Forgive me not aligning myself with you and choosing my own ways. I thank you from this day forward that I am aligned with you and I am part of a kingdom vision that is bigger, greater than just me. And I thank you that I get to be a part of that. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to close here in just a minute, and we're going to pray for some people. I do believe that if you have plantar fasciitis, I feel like I got a word. If that's you, come down front. We're going to pray for you. You're going to get healed today. So if that's you, come on down front. And we're going to pray for you. And if you're in the room today, too, and you say, hey, I need healing, we'd love to pray for you. Also, when we talk about the vision of God on your life, there's a lot of challenges that instantly the enemy wants to say, boom. And he wants to say that it's a roadblock. And if you feel that it's such a block today that you just can't get past it, then we're going to stand with you and we're going to break that today. That could look like a lot of different things, okay? It could be spiritual, it could be demonic, all right? It could be something that you're just like, every time I try to battle this thing, I just can't get past it. Maybe it's an addiction today. Whatever it may be, I believe that God wants to break it today. Yep. Obliterate it today. Because victory is in this house. So Nick's going to turn on some worship music. We're going to minister up today. We're formally dismissed, all right?
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.